Okay, so my name is Everly Macario, and I have no relationships to disclose. All right. So we in public health, we're all here at the APHA conference. We have as our aim to solve problems. And we're preventable problems is really what we're aiming to do for the most part. So the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, approached the Hanning Group to help with a construction-related problem, and that is that falls from heights are the number one cause of death on construction sites. Specifically, approximately 360 workers die each year in the United States as a result of falling from a height. And this translates into about one unnecessary death per day due to this preventable cause. And to give you a sense of a long-term number, over an eight-year period from 1992 to 2010, 6,858 construction workers died from fall injuries. The largest fall fatality hazards occur from roofs, which comprise about 33% of all falls from height, ladders another 16%, and scaffolds another 16%. These three issues combined account for roughly two-thirds of all fatal falls in construction. In 2008, the CDC's NORA construction sector identified a need for a national campaign to reduce work-related falls, injuries, and fatalities in the construction industry. To achieve this goal, the NORA Construction Sector Council, which is a government, labor, and industry partnership, determined that a social marketing campaign could increase safety awareness and influence work safety behaviors to reduce falls from heights. Not only did the NORA Construction Sector Council conceive and carry out the campaign, it participated in subcommittees such as for campaign materials development, outreach, and evaluation. As an aside, OSHA is part of the NORA Construction Sector Council. Efforts to reach small residential contractors, those that are in businesses with 10 or fewer employees, are an especially vulnerable and not yet served group, with height safety information was not existent before this national campaign. This national campaign was launched on Workers' Memorial Day, April 2012, by Department of Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. This national campaign is supported by partners who help to distribute campaign materials that include the campaign's website for more information and resources. Local communities are invited to custom tailor national materials to suit their own unique characteristics. We have been working on this campaign for about 1.5 years, and it is ongoing. We know that ongoing and iterative evaluation and research was going to be critical to continuously inform and shape our campaign activities. Evaluation is also essential to demonstrate areas of success and areas needing improvement. We have thus engaged in the following 7 evaluation research steps. First, we conducted an environmental scan. Second, we conducted formative research. Third, we conducted post-campaign launch focus groups. Fourth, we conducted a market readiness study for local campaigns. Fifth, we administered partner engagement surveys. Sixth, we engaged in ongoing quantitative and qualitative metrics. And seven, we conducted store intercept interviews. So as I said, we first conducted an environmental scan to learn what others were doing in this area and to identify innovative and effective approaches we could adopt. From the scan, we gained the following insights for increasing work safety awareness and usage of safety measures while working from heights. One, create a short, catchy campaign name. Two, hold a special event to launch the campaign. Three, launch a unique official campaign website. Four, establish evaluation metrics and measurement tools. Five, create a clear call to action to be placed on products. Six, distribute ready and easy to use products in multiple languages. Seven, involve partners. And eight, engage in a multi-year process. We then engaged in a formative research study to gain insights into construction contractors' and workers' knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors related to working from heights, and to seek feedback on creative concepts. And we did this through 15 focus groups in 4 cities, both in English and Spanish, and we used the scan findings to assemble materials, messages, and slogans for testing. This formative research served as the foundation for all ensuing campaign elements, including target audience outreach strategies. We literally tested over 100 logos, campaign names, taglines, and creative products, such as posters, advertising, and videos during the 15 focus groups. And we tested these 5 potential creative concepts specifically targeted to small contractors. We've referred to these as A, family testimonial, B, factual statistical, C, fear appeal, D, incorrect/correct behavior, and E, superheroes/humor. This is this slide shows a couple of samples applying the family/testimonial concept. Here we have a sample product showing the factual statistical concept. Here are a couple of examples showing the fear appeal concept. A couple of examples here showing the superheroes humor concept. And these are just a few of the logos and names that we tested, and that included testing the colors, the copy, the images, the look and feel, the tone. So one of the campaign concepts or creative approaches that tested best was the personal testimony from a real construction worker communicating factual information in a serious tone. The other campaign concept or creative approach that tested best included the incorrect versus correct behavior one. This slide shows a campaign fact sheet applying these 2 creative concepts. So you can see on the left where you have the red slash through symbol, you know, what not to do, and then further to the left tells you the correct behaviors for practicing safe roofing in this particular instance. The final actionable taglines are ones that place the responsibility on employers. I just want to repeat that. So our taglines, we hope, clearly place responsibility on the employers. And those are 1, plan ahead to get the job done safely. 2, provide the right equipment. And 3, train everyone to use the equipment safely. So the members of our target audience, again, these are small residential contractors and workers who are basically off the grid. They're not reachable by your typical or traditional communication channel, and they're usually mom-and-pop shops that work on their own. So this target audience, our target audience for this campaign, could relate most to this image of the worker with the hammer in hand. The hammer was very important to them. On the roof image, and having the worker tied to a line on the roof was critically important to showing the desired safe behavior. And we created the website for our campaign, and it's called StopConstructionFalls.com. 4 months after the launch of the campaign, we wanted to check in with members of our target audience and get their feedback on materials disseminated and communication strategies. Okay, I thought I was moving really quickly, but I guess not fast enough. So we conducted a couple of focus groups in the DC metro area. We learned from these focus groups that the campaign had not yet reached our target audience. Nonetheless, the focus groups helped provide us with feedback for our initial campaign materials, and because of the feedback, we did make changes to the website and to some of the resources. We knew that for this campaign to accomplish its goals of reaching contractors and site supervisors of small construction firms across the country, we needed to involve local communities in tailoring the campaign to their own needs and unique flavors. we wanted to get a sense of the factors needed to build an intensive, locally homegrown campaign. So, to assess readiness for a locally tailored campaign, we created a matrix tool with optimal readiness factors to score a community's likelihood of a successful local campaign. In spring 2013, we conducted telephone interviews with representatives of three geographic areas where the campaign has partners who have engaged in locally tailored campaign efforts. Those include Kentucky, Massachusetts, and St. Louis. And I'm really happy to say that Sarah Radigan and Michael Fiore, who are sitting in the back row, they are here representing Massachusetts, and they did a phenomenal job getting the word out through billboards and transit systems across Massachusetts. I'll have to move on here. So we learned what key factors are needed for a successful local campaign. There they are. These campaign success stories, including the Massachusetts one, can be viewed on the Safety Pays False Cost National Campaign website. To date, over 60 partners have joined the campaign to establish a baseline of partner level of involvement and to learn more about partners' needs and desires. We conducted a pre- and post-online partner survey, first in the spring of 2013, then in the summer of 2013. Let's go over here. So we learned that partners want to be more involved, they would like to turn to a live person for technical assistance, and they prefer to be communicated, they prefer for the national campaign headquarters to communicate with them via email. So in response to what we learned from these online surveys, we founded an e-newsletter for the campaign, and we also held three interactive webinars. On an ongoing basis, we document the number of quantitative and qualitative metrics, such as new partners, partner activities, products distributed both in terms of numbers and recipients, most viewed pages on the website, downloaded items, referring sites, external links clinked, items posted, social media posts, media outlets reporting on the campaign and campaign topics, spokespersons interviewed, inquiries about the campaign, campaign events, participation in conferences and annual events, and also publications that mention the campaign. These quantitative and qualitative metrics that are on the slide are some other samples of our results. Through our partners, we received permission to conduct store intercept interviews at lumberyards, paint stores, and training schools, and we conducted these interviews in both the DC metro area and Lowell, Massachusetts. And my colleague, Dr. Sandra Wilshannon, is analyzing those data as I speak right now. Final slide, lessons learned. The Safety Pays False Cost campaign has a unique campaign brand. I don't know if you remember, there's a gentleman's face in most of the posters. We affectionately refer to him as Hector, and we find that people, once they see that poster with his face, they recognize the campaign. Secondly, leveraging trusted partners' access to the campaign's target audience is key to outreach. That said, our challenge still is getting the information to these small contractors. Again, that's the campaign's primary target audience. Fortunately, contractors of all sizes get information from OSHA and OSHA's on board. Third, partnering with a large organization would help extend messages. Fourth, more media relations activities are needed to saturate communication channels. Obstacles to construction safety still abound, but facilitators provide some inroads. And by obstacles here, I'm referring to certain misconceptions about personal risk and entrenched norms. In other words, risk becomes normal, risk becomes part of an identity, and risk seems cost effective. And also, the reality is that there is an underreporting of falls from roofs, ladders, and scaffolds by small residential contractors. With respect to facilitators, our target audience does not want to get hurt, is open to learning more about construction safety as long as it does not interfere with workflow, wants to stay employed and keep with their businesses, and finally, would welcome construction safety information if it is relevant to their specific work situation, if it's easy to access and easy to use. Here, if you would like more information on the campaign, feel free to visit these sites or email us, and you'll have much more information there. Thank you so much for your time.
Time for a couple questions. Tish?
No, that's an excellent observation, and it's a constant tension that we've been observing. So when we conducted focus groups with our target audience, we spoke with both contractors and owners and foremen, and as well as the laborers and workers, all the different levels. And the theme was that although they hate OSHA, they really don't like it when OSHA stops unexpectedly at a construction site and spots a hazard and finds them, there's a lot of respect for OSHA. So if they're looking for training, they will go to the OSHA website and go for the resources. So it's a very respected source. It's just a double-edged sword, I guess. Thanks. Yeah, no, ever since I started working on this campaign, I've walked out by tens and tens of homes with workers, and I start to have a panic attack. And I've actually used that opportunity to take photos, to post them, to show people what they're not supposed to do. So that's a huge problem, and we actually did discuss homeowners as one potential audience. So there's just so many different audiences we could tackle insurance companies, we could tackle so many others, and homeowners is on the list, but not for this initial campaign. I think that it would have to be a general public awareness campaign, just for the general public, because I would say most people are just absolutely not aware and how preventable all of these situations are.
Yeah. Time for one question more, Pam?
In your materials, did you attempt to tackle that cultural issue of risk is norm and?
Yes. So we tried to do that through testimonials, and what we heard a lot was that if a worker has been working in the construction for many, many years, 20, 30 years, they actually feel that they're more experienced, so they are much more reluctant to engage in safety practice behaviors. In fact, they think that those recommendations would actually get in their way. So if we say, well, you could wear a safety harness, they might say, are you kidding? I've done this for 30 years. I'm alive. I know what I'm doing. I might trip over it. I get sweaty. So what we're hearing is that the target audience is telling us to really focus on the younger generation and start training them from the beginning so that they start the habits the proper way, and they won't have to relearn what they've been doing after so many years of doing it their a certain way. Did that even touch your... Okay. Okay. We can talk afterwards. Thank you. Yes.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Our next speaker is Ms. Patty Lavera. She's the Assistant Director of Food and Water Watch, coordinating the organization's food team. She earned her Master's in Environmental Policy from the University of Michigan and previously worked at Public Citizen. I know of her organization's work through her amazing colleague, Tony Corbo. He's part of a small group of conspirers, including the National Council of La Raza, Southern Poverty Law Center, and of course the APHA's Occupational Health and Safety Section. This group has been working for the last 18 months trying to stop the USDA from finalizing a new regulation to modernize poultry slaughter inspection. I couldn't be more pleased to have her presenting here today on this very topic.